I bet my share Sadie gets the house. As bets went, it was nuts, of course, but Carolyn knew Augusta's challenge had nothing to do with any anxiety over preserving the house for Aldridge posterity. Like Rhett Butler, Augusta didn't give a damn. At least not about the house. "Why would Mother do that?" their youngest sister, Savannah, asked. Augusta shrugged. "Why would Mother do anything?" Up to this point, Savannah had spent her entire life defending their mother, and Augusta was bound to spend the rest of hers accusing. Caroline was tired of being in the middle. She tuned them out, peering through the window as the limo passed the torched remains of the house's Georgian predecessor. Destroyed during a kitchen fire, the year after the War of Northern Aggression ended, the original house had escaped Sherman's wrath and one of the South's most pivotal battles, only to meet its fate at the hands of a common grease fire. Construction on the new big house began the following year. Oyster Point Plantation was her family's legacy, along with a lifetime of dysfunction. Why would Mother do anything? The answers were buried this morning, along with their mother. All that remained now was the mythos. To the rest of the world, Florence Willowdean Aldridge was a media darling, heir to one of the city's oldest surviving newspapers. To Caroline and her sisters, she was like the house. There was the face people saw through the eye of a camera lens, the lovely southern plantation that graced the covers of magazines like Southern Living and House Beautiful, where Spanish moss clung to stately trees like hoary curtains. And then there was the face that existed behind the red door, where the slow decay of the soul seeped into the fiber of the structure, sank down deep into the soil and surrounding marshlands, festered and stank. That was how Caroline perceived the smell of the marsh, that unmistakable, sulfurous odor that heightened the closer they came to the house. That smell her mother never acknowledged, though she compulsively planted and obsessed over sickly sweet magnolias and azaleas to mask the scent. It was funny, Caroline thought, how you could look straight at the house with its storybook gables and actually smell the decay, and still your brain believed the beautiful lie. Even now, as the car wound its way up the private drive through the swooning oaks and shawled magnolia trees, old wounds seemed to reopen and fester. As though in the presence of the house, only the memories that were born here had any real vitality. Caroline thought she had braced herself, but she wasn't quite prepared for the rush of emotion that assaulted her as the house's steeply pitched gabled roof and perfectly spaced dormers soared into view. Like the body lying inside the coffin they'd just abandoned, the old Victorian seemed to have aged on fast forward, obvious even through the last thick coat of white paint. And yet there it stood, defying the years, a southern matriarch in its own right, a polite hostess, entertaining callers. The two-story piazza, with more than 2,000 square feet of wraparound porch, like the cemetery, was standing room only, leaving no doubt their mother was adored. People milled about, standing in the driveway, marveling over Flo's azaleas. Caroline desperately wanted to feel what they felt, but instead of grief, all she could muster from the depths of her soul was something like regret. The limo rolled to a crunchy halt over the gravel drive, and Savannah reached over to give her hand a gentle squeeze. "Ready?" The answer was no, but Caroline nodded anyway. Savannah was the first to slide out of the car, brushing imaginary specks from her simple black dress while she stood waiting for Caroline. Augusta took the path of least resistance and scooted out of Savannah's door, her pink dress standing out like a sore thumb as she bolted up the front stairs and disappeared into a sea of black dresses and suits.